Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's Lee and Keys, Real Talk, back with another episode. Excuse my cough. You know, I have a cold, but yeah, we're going to get right through it. I'll do the best I can, and let's go. Lee, what's up, bro? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm good, bro. How you doing outside of having a little cold? Summer colds are the worst, too.
All right, then. So we're pretty much on the same wavelength then with that, so that's cool. Yeah, I went to a doctor's appointment today, and I was kind of bugging out because I'm like, man, are they just going to think I have COVID? Like, I was trying to, like, not cough, like, because I'm like, they might try to, like, you know, throw me in and do a test, and it's like, I already know. I already been tested. Like, we already did that. We're not doing none of that. I just got, you know what I mean, regular cold. So, yeah, it is what it is. But, yeah, we got a lot of shit to talk about. You know, I almost just, there was so many things I wanted to say right there. I just got jumbled off like five topics. You know, I see how that happened. You know, that was a, you know, that was a minor setback. You know what I mean? That was a little diversity, but it's all right. Yo, what do you want to hit first? I know this past weekend I was at a bar with, you know, my brother, a couple of our boys, and I sat down at this bar, right? Like, up near his way. We live probably, like, you know, 20, 30 minutes away from each other. So it's kind of, like, more, not far, but, like, it's, you know, kind of one of his local spots. And I wouldn't know them to be playing the UFC. Like, I didn't know if that, like, whether or not that was a thing. But I just went there not really expecting to watch it. Like, I kind of even wasn't even aware. Like, I kind of forgot it was on. I was went there. And what to my surprise, bro, we sit at the bar, I order my drink, I'm talking to my boy, I look up, and this place has a lot of TVs. It's kind of like a tavern pub. It's not really like a sports bar, but they do have a lot of TVs, and they're down for it. It's close, but I didn't know they would have UFC. So I'm sitting at the bar with my boy, get my Casamigos. I think I was drinking Casamigos and lemonade, I might have been drinking, and I got my Casamigos and lemonade, and to my surprise, I look up to the screen, and what do I see, bro? I was delighted to see this. It was the tail of the tape for Terrence McKinney's fight. You know how happy I was when I saw that, bro? That brought a big smile over my face. I was like, bro, this is crazy, because there's a bunch of different things that are on these TVs right now, and we could have been seated anywhere. You know, we could have sat somewhere at a different angle, but I didn't even look around at what was on the TVs until I sat and looked up. The TV right in front of us across the room and the one, like, just to the right, where had the Terrence McKinney fight starting. And I was like, man, let's go, bro. You know, that hyped me up right there. And then my boy got a crazy finish, you know. You know how happy that made me, bro?
You tweeted about it.
I had to let the people know, man. That was what kind of man, you know? What kind of, you know, tax-paying, God-fearing, hard-working man do I look like not tweeting out my satisfaction with being seated at a bar, having no idea, ordering my Casamigos lemonade, looking up and seeing my boy Terrence McKinney about to fight, and it's his tail of the tape. This is just about to start. Who am I to not let the people know how dope of a moment that was? And all of that, and as a fan, who am I to not tell them? You feel me?
Yeah, man. Hey, sometimes luck works in strange ways.
Yeah, not, bro. That was one of those times. I was like, damn, somebody was looking out for me, dog. That was crazy, because that was, like, the fight that I was kind of looking at with that card, too. That was really the one that I was like, damn, all right, he's about to fight this weekend. And then it kind of slipped my mind. Like, I knew there was fights, but I wasn't really focused on it. Then when I went there, what do you know? His fight right in front of me, perfect, you know, viewpoint. I didn't even have to move. Like, I was just right there. And you see my boy get the finish. You know what I mean? Come on, bro.
Every fight on this card was finishes. I think they said it was the first time since 2014 that all the fights were finishes.
And I want to say that he had a standing submission, bro. He had like a backpack submission.
Rear naked choke.
That was like some Damian Maya style shit. Like, that's something he would do. You know what I mean? I was like, wow. When I saw him on the back and then, like, the dude, like, slipped out of it at first and then he reestablished the position. And then I always think it's a neck crank. They always say it's a rear naked choke, but I don't understand because it always looks like a neck crank, a lot of these chokes. Because I thought the neck crank was, like, when it's the pressure is more on the jaw. It was more on the jaw. I thought that was a neck crank. They always say that it's a rear naked choke.
That crank is when you is on the jaw. You got the head turned like a certain way. It's kind of like if you had a head turned like either left or right, and you got the forearm across the jaw. That's considered a neck crank.
Oh, okay, I got you. Well, I appreciate that. I mean, on the subject, that was incredible. And regardless of, you know, who his opponent was or whatever, you know, because a lot of guys are probably like, oh, well, you know, that wasn't versus like a top guy or something like this. It's like, well, I mean, not that I really have looked into what people are saying. I didn't really look, but I know that that's a criticism that we make sometimes. A lot of people make that kind of thing. And I know he wasn't fighting like a, you know, super well-known guy, but. You know, you got to have those fights, and he's still putting on impressive performances. And all I know is that he's going to be, like, I was telling my boy, I was like, yo, you know what's crazy about this dude, too? Like, right after he got that submission, I was like, not only was that incredible, because you don't really see submissions like that backpack style. Like, you don't really see that often. I hadn't seen it in a while. I was like, not only was that crazy, and he always is in a fun fight, win or lose. Much like Michael Chandler, but he's also, speaking of Chandler, in the same division as Mike Chandler. He's in the craziest division in the UFC, man. It's unbelievable. Like, how much more stacked could 155 really be? Like, that's the question. Like, how crazy could it really get? Like, the fact that dude, Ilya Topuria, that, like, got the hand sanitizer, like, whipped off his head by Paddy Pimblett, and they're supposed to fight or something. Did he, like, kind of, the fact that he's, like, teeters between 145 and 155 almost, like, makes sense. Like, I almost accept that because I'm like, okay, I don't know if this dude wants to be a lightweight or a featherweight. He's calling out lightweight, but he is fighting at featherweight. I don't really know where he wants to be at, but I almost accept him not being at 150 because it's already so. I'm like, how much higher can you stack that division before it's just absolutely insane? Every fight is a banger, and you just don't miss. Like, how much more can they go?
Man, lightweight is super stacked, man. Lightweight is so stacked right now that it's ridiculous, man. I mean, if you just look at the names in the top 10 of lightweight, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Gillespie, Gregor Gillespie, well, he's kind of falling off. Paul Felder, I want to say he's semi-retired. Then you got Islam, RDA, Dan Hooker, who I don't really care for too much. Darius, Chandler, Gaethje, Poirier, Oliveira. You still got Tony Ferguson in there. And you might have Max Holloway move up to 155. Or you might have Volkanovski move up to 155. So 155 is stacked, bro. It's like, man. It's probably the best. I'm going to say it's probably the best division in the UFC right now. Let me see. I think Bantamweight is kind of deep, too. Bantamweight is kind of deep, too, with their top 10. Sunshine, Moray is kind of falling off. Moho's kind of falling off. Frankie kind of falling off. Then you got Aldo, Font, Garbrandt falling off. So, yeah, Bantamweight was, I think Bantamweight was looking at as being one of the best weight classes, but they kind of like some of the bottom 10, they kind of falling off. So, yeah, man, lightweight right now is crazy. But one thing I did notice this weekend, Keys, I wanted you to notice, I don't know if they had the sound up in the place you was at, everybody had good call-outs, bro. It won't know we'll go back to the drawing board, see what the team says, what the UFC comeback. Everybody after they fights, man, they had quality call-outs. I think McKinney called out, and who did he call out? Lightweight. Who did he call out? Come on. Did he call out Brad Riddle? Did he call out Bobby Green?
Who
did Terrence McKinney call out after his fight?
I don't remember. I think he was it Patty Pimblett? He might have. Because I know he at least called out
Patty. Yeah, that's why he called out Patty. He called out Patty Pimblett.
In the interview, but I know he has been calling him out, like, on
TV. Yeah, he called him out. He called out Patty Pimblett. Yeah, that's who he called out.
That's a good fight.
Yeah.
Man,
I like that call.
And I like the fact that he wants to call guys out. You know, that's something that I always kind of, you know, stress about, not stress, but I stress it to overall. It's just that, you know, guys, I want to see guys call guys out. Like, I want you to know where you want to go. You know what I mean? I'm not really too, it don't really move the needle when guys are just like, yeah, like, we're going to get back in training camp and, you know, whoever they give me, you know, we'll be next. And it's like, I don't like that kind of talk because it don't sound like you're excited. Like, it don't really, there's no life in that. It just sounds like you're just kind of rolling with the punches and whatever it is. And it's like, where's the competitiveness? Like, if you're, you know, I don't know. I just like to see, the way I like to see it is that, you know, if you're going into something, you want to be the best. You know what I mean? You're not trying to just float through and, you know, I get being humble, but you could be humble while wanting to challenge guys. That's not, I don't see where the, like, this thing is about, oh, you can't make call-outs, like, that's not humble. It's like, bro, that it's not like saying, like, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't even really know how to put it, but I don't think that's, I don't see where, like, the crowd is like, oh, like, he doesn't want to call guys. It's like, what do you want to see? I don't really understand, like, don't you want to speculate about what the next fights might be? Like, isn't that exciting? Shouldn't the fighter want to be, like, isn't he looking at the landscape? Like, does he know who the champ is? Like, what is the fighter doing? I'm trying to understand, you know what I'm saying? So that's what I like about, you know, one thing I'll give to him, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of, you know, Islam Makhachev, Habib. Like, the thing I don't like about them and a lot of those, you know, Dagestani guys is not, it's not their background. It's not like I'm, you know, against, you know, that they're Russian or something like that. It's nothing. Not at all. What it is that I don't really like their arrogance. Like, it's just, I don't like the way that they just kind of, like, disregard their opponents. I don't appreciate that kind of attitude. You know what I mean? There's a difference between being competitive and saying, like, oh, I want to fight this guy. I think I could beat this guy or, you know, this guy's, you know, jiu-jitsu isn't as good as mine or whatever. There's a difference between doing that and just saying, you know, nobody in this, you know, UFC can beat me. You know what I mean? You know, I'll beat the champion tonight. I'll fight all three of them, you know, in one night. It's like, bro, no, you won't. It's like, no, you won't. Just stop. Like, you're not that good. You know what I'm saying? You're really not. Honestly, man, you're not. Like, you know, the last person to talk like that, Hamzat Chimaev, and guess what? We were right about what we said. We were right about what we said about him. We said, when he goes in there against Gilbert Burns, you guys are going to see that
you don't get to just run through these guys. These are tough guys. You know what I'm saying? Gilbert Burns is one of the best welterweights in the world. I mean, probably one of the best mixed martial artists in the world, period. That dude is a beast, and he's well-rounded. Like, he's good in almost, you know, pretty much every area. He's a well-rounded, durable beast. You know what I'm saying? Not easy to finish, not easy to do anything with. So one thing that I want to say we both said was when he fights him, he's going to see that you're not just going to run over Gilbert Burns. Like, you think that, oh, you know, I'll beat Gilbert Burns, Covington, and Usman in one night. Like, he was talking like that before. And then what happened when he went in there versus Gilbert Burns? I'll give you one word. He was humbled. He was humbled. Yeah. What happened? He was getting touched so much in that fight. And he even admitted after the fight that he didn't want to go to the ground with Gilbert Burns because he was aware of the jiu-jitsu threat. That's what he said after the fight. Now, that is what I want anybody who is on the, oh, Chimaev's the best fighter we've ever seen. He'll beat Usman and Covington at the same time. All this crazy, insane talk that these people do about those types of fighters that come in and they just disregard the whole UFC as if they're a god and they're untouchable and they have no weak points. Clearly, Chimaev does have a weak point. He was getting touched all night in there. What happened? You put him in there with, you know, average guys. You put him in there versus virtually nobody, and he smashed them out. I understand that. He's a tough guy. He's going to beat guys that he's supposed to beat. But when you put him in there with the top five and you try to think that it's going to be the same thing, what happened? He was getting touched all night. He was getting hit all night in there. He was struggling in that stand-up. And a lot of people feel like Gilbert Burns won that fight. A lot of people
did. And I'm one of them.
What happened?
I'm one of them. I thought Gilbert Burns won that fight.
He definitely did enough to win that fight. I don't really know. I don't think I was scoring it when I was watching it. I was just kind of watching it, and I was just in amazement. Because I think that was the Volkanovski card, and I was like, man, I was faded. By the time that fight came on, I was faded, bro. I was chilling. That was a Ciroc night. I was banged up. I was just watching it. But I know that I felt like Burns did enough to win. Like, when they did the decision, I was like, I don't really know who won this fight. Like, they both, you know, were landing shots. But I know Chimaev was definitely getting touched a lot more than he made it seem. A lot more than, you know, it was a lot different of a fight than the way he sold it. I'll tell you that. And I think they just gave him the nod because he has the O on his record. And you want to give them the O, you know what I mean, and keep the O on the undefeated guy. Plus, he's, you know, they want him to be a star. And he has personality. So I think that's kind of more or less what happened there. And Gilbert Burns, guys already know him, and he's already fought for the belt. So they want to get Chimaev up there. I think that's a little bit of what happened when it comes to that decision. They would deny that all day, but I think really that's pretty much what happened. And that's just the thing. They're arrogant. I don't like that. But I do like guys, you know, Islam Makhachev. You saw that video of Charles Oliveira. Charles Oliveira is talking in the car with somebody. I don't know. I think I sent you the video. And Charles, man, the king was going off, bro. King was snapping. He's like, he didn't say any names, but he said their arrogance is going to be what kills them. Their arrogance, you know, he's like, former fighters, managers, disrespecting me a lot. They kind of, you know, basically saying they're disregarding me. They're looking past me. And they take me as, you know, nothing. And that's what's going to be what kills them in the end. And he's like, basically said, I don't want to, you know, don't come to me with excuses after. That's what, did you see that video?
No, I didn't see that video, but I think he's talking more about Khabib than he is Islam. Because I think Khabib has been saying that there's no way Charles Oliveira can beat Islam. And I think the thing that people sleep on about Charles Oliveira that me and you have always, that we have grown to see is people don't want to go to the mat with him. People knock him down, and they would rather have him stand up than go to the mat with him. Islam isn't a puncher. So being that he's not a puncher, what is his best thing? What can he do against Charles Oliveira, that I'm going to say that I'm going to pick him to win that fight. There's nothing that he can do outside of wrestling that I'm going to pick him to win. I think Charles Oliveira striking is better than his. I think Charles Oliveira has a better chin than him, even though I don't think Islam's chin has been tested. But I just think Charles is a better fighter. But I think his remarks are aimed more towards Khabib than they are Islam. But when you watch Islam fight, it's like watching a mirror image of Khabib fight. And if Islam doesn't come with a plan B, Keys, he is going to look so below average against Charles Oliveira. It's going to take a miracle for him to pull that fight out if he doesn't have a plan B. Because I don't see him wanting to go to the mat. And unless he's working on his striking, I don't see him winning it there either. So, but I kind of agree with you about Dagestan and fighters. I know that in a way you're supposed to be cocky, because basically in this game, nobody wants to walk in there with the mindset of, I really don't want to get hit. I really don't want to get hurt. You know, I just want to get through this fight. Because when you go in there thinking that you're going to get hurt bad, you might even get injured. And in this game, you could lose your life inside the octagon. So being cocky is one thing, but you should always have a form of fear and a tad bit of respect for your opponent, because you never know what can happen in there. And I don't think them guys go in there with the proper amount of fear and the proper amount of respect for their opponent. And like you said, Khabib, he was humbled against Gilbert Burns. And if he think he was humbled by Gilbert Burns, wait till they put him in there against Colby Covington, a guy that has a motor for days, a guy that can take punishment, a guy that can dig it out, and a guy that his cardio isn't going to fade. He's only going to get better as the fight goes on. So I think if Khabib, well, I'm quite sure the UFC, they should be working on this fight, Colby Covington versus Khabib. So that'll get him what they want. If he beat Covington, there's no holding him back from a title shot. But after seeing what Burns did to him, and I think Colby is a better fighter than Burns, I see this being a tough road to hoe for Khabib when he faces Colby Covington. But back to your boy's Terrence, man, McKinney, I think his next fight, if the UFC, if they really want to see what they got in these two young guys, Paddy Pimblett and Terrence McKinney, have them square off against each other and let the cream rise to the top. That's the fight I want to see next. But, Keys, we got to move on to the upset of the weekend, in my opinion.
Which?
Jeff Neal knocking off Vicente Luque.
Man, I was just about – that was my next thing. I didn't know which one you thought was the biggest upset, so I had to let you rock. But, yeah, I mean, Jeff Neal,
wow.
That's the first time ever they said that Vicente Luque has been knocked out. Unbelievable.
And the way Jeff Neal did it, Keith, with combinations, and for some strange reason, Luque just couldn't stop. He just didn't see the left hand. It was like Neal was touching him up every time with the left hand. What me and you always say about Garbrandt, he can't defend the right hook. Man, Vicente Luque couldn't see that left jab coming at him all day. I was like, man, he is killing you with this left jab. But I thought Jeff Neal had a great performance, man. He coming back from the thing, you know, with the DUI and stuff like that. But hey, great win by Jeff Neal, man. What'd you think of the fight, bro?
I mean, I'll say this. First of all, when I saw that was on the card too, I was kind of shocked. I was like, damn, this card's got bangers. You had McKinney there. Then those dudes went on. I'm like, damn, you got this and Jamal Hill's fighting Thiago Santos? I'm like, damn, they got the triple-headed beast on that main card. I was like, that's three savage fights right there. That's some crazy killers in there. And basically, in the first round, and I tweeted this, I think, from at Lee and Keys Real Talk on Twitter. Follow us, by the way. I think I tweeted it from our page. I said, it looks to me, and this was in the first round, I said, it looks to me like Luque is struggling in the stand-up. And it was the clinch. I felt like Jeff Neal was executing the clinch, and he was holding him, you know, pressing him against the cage. And I feel like that, you know, having that clinch in between, you know, his work with his hands, I feel like it was, you know, and you mentioned the left jab, like, what he was doing, it was like Luque couldn't, it seemed like he was, like, confused. It seemed like, it looked to me like he couldn't figure out what Jeff Neal was doing. And I just felt in that first round, I said, Luque looks like he's struggling to me. I feel like he's struggling in this fight. You know, he doesn't look like he's in control here. And then in the second, I think it was the second round, right, is when the stoppage happened?
Yep. No, round three.
Okay, round three. But basically, I saw something correctly, because I felt like he was struggling early on. It looked like he didn't look the same to me like he usually looks. And I just felt like Jeff Neal was touching him up anywhere. Like, you know, he was getting hit all night in there. And, you know, the clinch was there, was in full control of that fight, I think. And then the stoppage was there, you know, a couple rounds later. And I'm like, damn, I can understand. I think Jeff Neal came in there to win. That's what that was. That boy, you know, that man came in there he came in there to win, bro. Like, he was locked in, and he looked great. So the question that I would probably ask you is, who do you think he should fight next?
Well, he had a hell of a call out, and I love the call out. He called out Gilbert Burns. He was like, Gilbert Burns, let's get it on. Gilbert Burns replied on Twitter that if Masvidal doesn't sign the contract, he's willing to fight Jeff Neal next. So if that happens, I'm with it. But if he doesn't get Gilbert Burns, I think Chiesa will be a good fight. Yeah, they haven't fought yet. So I think Chiesa will be a good fight. Who else we got? I like Chiesa, though, man, because he already fought Wonderboy. He lost to Neil Magny. Do you want to do another Stephen Thompson fight? He lost by unanimous decision, so it did go all five rounds. But I think the fight to make, man, is Gilbert Burns versus Jeff Neal, or Jeff Neal versus Michael Chiesa. So what you thinking?
I mean, I see you got Usman's about to fight Leon. Kobe Covington's, like, in court doing what he's doing. And, like, also winning poker championships. They said that – shout out to Kobe, man, because Kobe, they said he placed, I think, seventh in, like, a major poker tournament. He was, like – the grand prize was something crazy. He was in, like, with some serious hands in there. That's what I was reading. And I didn't know he was a star poker player. It's funny because I saw the picture, too. This man had, like, his hood up with, like, sunglasses on or something. He was, you know, obviously trying to, like, have people not notice him, you know, or whatever. He didn't want – I don't know what. He was trying to disguise himself. It was funny, man. But, yeah, shout out to him. He's winning poker championships and stuff like that, so he's not around. Obviously, Chimaev's going to fight Nate Diaz. I mean, Bilal's going to fight Sean Brady. everyone's pretty much fighting, and, like, they're all fighting. I mean, Luque, obviously, I mean, there's not even a ranked 10. Masvidal, I mean, I don't even feel like Masvidal is going to fight, man. I don't even know. Masvidal, you don't seem like he's going to fight. I'm not going to say him, bro. And Thompson, I don't really want to. I think Jeff Neal and Thompson already fought, I'm pretty sure. And
yeah, he lost
really,
the Wonderboy.
I mean, Jeff Neal, man, he just went up 5 ranks. I mean, I think the only play, because if you're not going to do Gilbert Burns, like, say Masvidal does fight Burns and then he's not available, because I like that fight to go, you know, let Jeff Neal fight up in the rankings. But if it doesn't, honestly, man, I think you got to go with that Chavkat Rakhmonov, man. I think that's the way he would have to, because that's really the only other option. I mean, you don't have really, most guys have a fight right now in welterweight. Mostly everybody's fought, or Jeff Neal's already fought them already. So you pretty much just have that. He's not going to get a fight with Colby Covington. We already know that. So yeah, I think if Burns ends up fighting Masvidal, or they give Burns another, you know, some other, you know, say Diaz, you know, misses Wade or something, and Burns steps in to rematch Chimaev, which he actually said that he's going to, like, try to do, is, like, be on weight to be the backup. If one of those scenarios pans out, I think you go Jeff Neal and Chavkat, bro. I think you got to do it, you know, because that would just be it. Chavkat's been winning fights. He just beat Neil Magny. I heard he submitted Neil Magny, and, you know, Neil Magny's a tough guy, so. That dude's coming up. I think that will be the fight.
All right. Well, let's move to, man, the main event, man. The main event was another banger, man. We had
shit, we told y'all about that one, too. Told y'all about that one, too. It's all right. We've been told y'all what was about to happen with that, but it's all right. You don't have to listen to us. We've been told y'all Jamal Hill was coming up. Been told y'all a while ago. Ben told y'all. That's all I'm going to say. He put in work. I knew that was coming. We knew that was coming. Clean work.
Yeah.
That dude's a savage, bro. Jamal Hill, come on. Put some respect on Jamal Hill. He has he made a good point. You know, he's on – what's he got, like 7 ranked wins or something, he said? Or he's like 7-1, 8-1, 9-1 UFC, something like that. This dude's got all those wins. And meanwhile, the champion of his same division – is only 3-0 in the UFC. The dude's only 3-0. That dude, Jerry Pahoska, is only 3-0 in the UFC, and he's the world champion. And Jamal Hill's like 7-1 or 8-1. And then the division below him, he made another good point. You got, what's his name? You know, they're going to fight Adesanya, and he's only, what, 4-0? You got to put those guys together to have the amount of wins that Jamal Hill has. And where's his title shot? You know what I'm saying? And now they want to do this rematch. They're going to do a rematch with Glover Teixeira. I mean, I didn't see that. I still haven't watched that fight. And I know people said it was a great, great fight. I haven't watched it, but I think Jamal Hill should be getting that shot, man. I really do. I think he should be getting it. I don't think they should be doing a rematch.
Oh, man, this is a tough one. Because 205 is so – it's not as deep as it used to be. 205 used to be deep. But it's just not deep as it used to be. So you could say that he should get a shot. But watching the Jiri and Glover fight, it was such a good fight that I don't mind the UFC doing a rematch with it. So I really don't mind that. But if I'm Jamal Hill, I'm probably not taking another fight. I'm going to sit back and wait. Because who's going to fight? Corey Anderson? No, Corey Anderson ain't even in the UFC no more. Dominique Reyes? Really? Alexander Rokic? They might try to have him fight Rokic. But he had another hell of a call out, though. He called out Jan Blachowicz. He was like, I'm calling out the former champ. If I beat him, there's no way they can deny me. So I like the call out. I like where his mind at with it. If the UFC give him yarn and he can somehow pull that out, then there's no denying him. But Thiago Santos, man, have the mighty have fallen. Ever since the John Jones fight, he's lost four of his last five fights, and his only win coming against Johnny Walker. So I don't know what Santos goes from here, but I was worried about him coming back his first fight after he injured both his knees in the John Jones fight. But that was a while ago, man. He just doesn't look like the same guy. I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's in the mental. Maybe he doesn't have confidence in his legs anymore. But he just doesn't like the same guy. But maybe Jamal Hill made him look that way. Sometimes your opponent can make you look less than what you are. But Hill, man, what a performance. What a gut. What a gutty performance. He got taken in the deep water, you know, because he had never been past the first round. And Santos came in with a hell of a game plan. Take him down, make him carry my weight, make him get off his back. But Jamal Hill answered the bell. And every time Santos did something, he had an answer for it. And he ended up finishing him, what, in the fourth round. So, hey, I like Hill versus Jan, but I see where you're coming from as far as, like, Pereira getting the title shot. But like I tweeted, I think Pereira, the only reason he getting a title shot against Izzy is because they going off of what happened in kickboxing. You know, Pereira owns two wins over Izzy in kickboxing, and he somehow managed to parlay that into getting this fight, although I don't think he deserve it. But, you know, that's just the UFC going with a real life story. And it's just kind of, well, really, if we look at it, Israel, he done beat Robert Whittaker, he done beat Costa, he beat Cannonier, he beat Vettori, he beat Brunson. So basically, I guess the next person up is Pereira, man. So we'll see what happens. Maybe Pereira can pull the rabbit out of his ass again and pull off another stunning upset of Izzy. But we shall see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, I guess that's just kind of one of those ones that, like, it looks weird on paper when you look at the numbers, but a lot of times it's like you said, you know, we were talking that day and you're like, they're kind of doing the WWE thing. And it's like, you know, you're just kind of going, you know, reaching for storylines, which is okay. You know what I mean? You're trying to sell fights. Like, I understand. I'm not trying to, and that's cool. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to say like, oh, you know, Izzy hasn't beaten, especially when he has beaten pretty much everybody at middleweight. I mean, really, who is there for him to fight? Like, who is coming up that you really feel like this guy should challenge him? Like, he's beaten everybody, man. And, like, he beat Whittaker twice, even if we feel like, you know, Whittaker won the second fight. I feel like he won the second fight. But even if we feel like that, I mean, on paper, he beat him twice. You know, he beat Gastelum when Gastelum was, you know, on a hot streak. He beat Cannonier, he beat, you know, Costa when he was undefeated. You know, he beat all these guys. Cannonier, he beat, you know, Vettori twice. One of the only guys he hasn't fought, which is kind of surprising, I thought he would have fought him by now, is Jack Hermanson. That's one guy that I'm kind of, it almost feels like that fight already happened. Like, when I just thought about it, I was like, wait, he hasn't fought Jack Hermanson. That's one fight. I'm not saying that should happen. I'm just saying that it feels like it already did, because, like, Jack Hermanson's been, you know, one of the top-level guys in middleweight for, like, you know, a good amount of time now. And he does put on good performances. He's a high-level fighter. And, you know, if you think about it, it just almost seems like that would be a rematch, because you just look at it and you're like, no, they fought, you know. Like, that was my instinct when I just thought of him, was, oh, they fought, but he actually hasn't. They haven't fought. That's probably the one guy that I would say it's weird they kind of haven't clashed yet. But Jack Manson really hasn't won. I feel like he hasn't won the big fight when he's gotten there. You know, he's kind of lost the big fight when he's gotten there. So I think that's kind of been his thing. Kind of like how Michael Bisping was. And, man, there's a couple guys nowadays that they get to that big fight where it's like, okay, this is your number one contender fight, pretty much. This is the one. You win this, and you're going for the belt. And then they always get to that moment, and then they lose. So, you know, he's kind of been in that category a little bit. But yeah, you know, that fight is what it is. That's just it's a storyline situation. And, you know, they're going to run it at Madison Square Garden, and we'll see what happens. Another fight that I think is really – dope, you know, 135 is on fire right now, bro. 135
yes,
is on fire. When you really look at it, all the guys that are fighting, right, like that are scheduled between the next, this month and then the following 2 months, like, these next 3 months, including August, like Dominic Cruz, you know, my boy Cruz, I'm pretty sure you're a big Cruz fan as well. You know, you were watching in the WEC days. I was not, so you're a lot more familiar with him than I even am. But I am still, you know, quite familiar with him. And, you know, he's going to fight Marlon Vera, another guy that I've been a fan of for, man, pretty much since I got back into the U.S. Like, he was one of the first guys that I was like, yo, who's this Vera guy, man? This guy's a beast. Like, that was back when he was unranked, and he was, like, one of those dudes that, you know, you'd see him on the card and, like, you had no idea, like, oh, who the hell is that fighting that guy? Like, I was watching him then. Like, that was probably, like, 5 years ago or something, you know, four or 5 years ago. He was, like, that dude is, like, who the hell is Marvin Barrett fighting? But he was a beast, bro. Like, he was always a savage, and Cruz is so inspiring to me, man. That's a great fight. You know, you got them fighting. Merab and Aldo are going to fight next weekend on the Usman-Edwards 2 card, another big bantamweight fight. And then you got Aljo and TJ and O'Malley and Piotr Jan on the October card. So bantamweight is crazy right now. You pretty much got, debatably the top 8 bantamweights right there, you know, including the champ, or the top 7 and the champ, all scheduled to fight right now. It's kind of insane when you think about it, that we're getting all those fights. Like, we almost have to stop, breathe that in, and appreciate that, because we are getting bangers. Like, that fact that we are seeing our boy Merab, we've been talking about him for a while too. The fact that we're getting Merab versus Jose Aldo, like, I'm not going to see it, unfortunately, because I'm going to be at one of my cousins is getting married. I'm going to be at a wedding. But so, unfortunately, I'm going to miss the fight, which sucks. But I'm definitely going to be watching the replay of that. I have to watch the replay. I don't care if I know the result. I just need to watch the replay just to see. I just need to see that one go down, bro. That fight is insane to me. I can't believe. Like, I remember us saying, like, speculating, like, oh, maybe he'll fight Aldo. Like, I remember, like, that was a big jump up because he's number 9 ranked or number 7 or something like this. And I'm like, maybe he'll jump up and fight Aldo. Like, we were saying that, like, months ago before it was even talked about. And then they actually started talking about it. And then now they're fighting. And I'm like, yo, that's a crazy, crazy banger of a fight, man. Holy shit. Like, who knows, bro? Merab, maybe, you know, Aldo will show the difference, you know, in experience. Aldo's looked great as well. You know, he's been on, you know, a little win streak himself. He's looked like a beast. Maybe he'll show that. Maybe Merab gets beat up. Or maybe Merab shows too much for Aldo. Maybe Merab takes him down. I mean, Aldo's got great takedown defense, but maybe he gets him down, or maybe Merab catches him, or he just, I don't know, man. I don't know. Three round Aldo is a beast, bro. Three round Aldo is an absolute beast. And that is a great fight. You can tell I'm excited about it. That's a great fight. What you think about it?
Man, I had a prediction that Merab would be fighting for the belt by the end of the year. It's not going to happen. but I think it happens the first quarter of 2023. So I'm going with Morav, man. I think Morav just has – he has multiple ways of winning fights. He can wrestle. He can stand up. He can kick. He did look kind of shaky in his last fight, but he did come back to win, which shows you that he has heart, you know. Jose, man, he's a fountain of youth because I thought he would have problems making 135. He proved me wrong. He's definitely has reinvented himself. But the one thing I still wonder about is why doesn't he kick more? He's starting to kick a little more, but he's not kicking the way he was when he was a champion, when those leg kicks will basically make you submit. But like you were saying, 135, man. The only person at 135 that don't have a fight right now is Rob Font. Rob Font is the only person in the top 10 that doesn't have a fight. I mean, Dominique Cruz is fighting. Morav is fighting. Martin Vera is fighting. Corey Sandhagen is fighting. Aldo is fighting. Dillashaw fighting. Jan fighting. Sterling is fighting. So all of these guys are fighting each other, bro. And I love it. Ain't no ducking at 135. You ain't ducking nobody at 135 once you get to top 12, top 10. You're going to be fighting one of the best. So, man, I 135, man. Whew. It's a solid division, bro. Especially with Aljamain proving most of us wrong that he could beat Petrion, and he went out there and did it. Hats off to him. September 10th, he fights TJ Dillashaw. And we know what that Dillashaw ain't no joke. So, but, yeah, man, 135, man. Hats off to 135 for being about that work, for being about that action. Because I guess anytime they show a 135 or a contract with a name on it, they just sign it and be ready to go. And I love that. Because even my boy Corey Sandhagen, he's fighting down. He's fighting Song Yeon Dong. But Song Yeon Dong is a tough dude. So it ain't like Corey Sandhagen is sitting back, sitting on his laurels. At least he's taking a fight. Whereas would I have rather seen him fight Rob Font? Yeah. But at least he's taking a fight. A lot of stuff going to shake out, Keys, by that last pay-per-view in 2022. A lot is going to shake out, and we're going to go into 2023 saying, all right, let's get the year started off right.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I had said, you said Morav. I said Morav as well. What I think will happen is, I don't know, man. The way these matchups have been made now, it's kind of like hard to tell. Because I didn't think we were going to get all these fights like in a 3-month span. So you have all these, like, realistically, if you look at it, like, at first I said, you know, I think Cruz beats Marlon Vera, and then I think, you know, whatever they give him, you know, number one contender, or he fights for the belt right there, or whatever they do, and he wins the belt, and then I said it would be Cruz versus CJ first quarter 2023, and then I said that it would, the title would change hands to Morav by, like, end of 2023. I think that's what I had said. Or, like, later, like, summer to, you know, ish, something like that, 2023. I want to say I said that, but regardless, it's so hard now who's going to get the title shot. It's very difficult because you have the actual title fight, Aljamain, and Aljamain and Dillashaw, the actual title fight. So we're going to find out what happens, who's the champ there, obviously. But then, to me, Cruz versus Marlon Vera is, like, the winner of that could fight for the belt, 100%. I mean, that's two of the best guys. Like, to me, if they gave the winner of that, you know, a title shot, I wouldn't blink. I'd be like, all right, like, those are two of the best guys, you know. So that's it. I feel the same way about Aldo and Merab. If Aldo won that and they gave him a title shot, I would not blink. If Merab beats Aldo and they gave him a title shot, I would not blink. And same thing for Jan versus O'Malley. If O'Malley beats the number one, Peter Jan, I don't think anyone's going to blink if he gets a title shot. And Jan beating O'Malley, I mean, I think no one's going to blink if he gets a title shot, especially if, I mean, he's technically down 0-2 against Aljamain Sterling, even though one was disqualification. He still technically hasn't beat him yet. And I'm not sure if the UFC is dying to do like a Sterling versus Jan 3. I don't really know if that – I wouldn't think that they were dying to do it. I feel like they would be hoping – if I was the UFC, honestly, I would be wanting O'Malley to beat Jan so that you could probably do, you know, either Aljo, you know, either one, but preferably for TJ to win. And then you could have PJ defend versus either one of those guys as a banger. And that makes the Jan winning better too, because now you don't have to do a trilogy. You could do a fresh fight, and you have PJ versus Jan, which that's a great fight. And so is PJ versus O'Malley. I think that's a great fight too. Those would both be very big fights. You know,
yeah.
So I think that if I'm the UFC, that's what I would prefer to happen for business. You know what I'm saying? And I would think that Dana White, you know, and when they're in the matchmaking room, I would think that they're looking for that outcome. You know what I'm saying? But who knows? I mean, any of those fights I think are basically, you know, number one contender fights. I think they're all number one contender fights, and then you have a title fight. That's the confusing part. So for me, you could have O'Malley fighting for the belt. You could have Aldo, Merab fighting for the belt. You could have Cheeto fighting TJ for the belt. Like, you could have Aljo fighting Aldo for the belt. You know what I'm saying? You could have – the only fight that probably wouldn't happen is because Merab already said, like, him and, you know, Aljamain are not fighting. You know, like, they're, like, really good friends. Like, they've been training partners for a while. He said, like, they're not fighting. I even saw Merab say, which this is the only thing that kind of makes me think maybe he wouldn't – like, even if he were to win, maybe he wouldn't fight for the belt unless TJ won. If TJ won, I think he could possibly stay. But if Aldo wins and Merab wins, Merab has said – Merab didn't say it exactly that way, but he did say that he's not fighting Aldo and he is open – like, something like he would move down to 125 to avoid having, you know, that clash. He did say that. Did you know he said that?
No, I didn't know he said that. I didn't know he said that. But, yeah, man, we got some bangers, man. Oh, my goodness. But, Keys, we got like a few minutes left, bro. We got to pick this main event that's coming up this weekend, man. We got two of your favorite fighters. And I know this is a hard decision for you. Marlon Vera taking on your boy, Dominique Cruz, who to me is trying to stay active, which I love. He's trying to get in there more and more. He's trying to get in there more and more turnaround, which is what? They got Marlon Vera's a -240 favorite, and Cruz is a +200. So basically it's almost a pick 'em. But Cruz is trying to get in there more, man. His last fight was December the 11th. No, damn, December 11, 2021. So, yeah, he's trying to get in there a little bit more. So, who you got, Keys? Who you got winning this fight?
You talking about Cheeto and Dom Cruz?
Yeah.
I got to go Cruz, man. I think Cruz is just – he's going to show that he's so elusive, man. His striking is unbelievable. Like, that guy is probably, you know, one of the best UFC. Excuse me. He's arguably one of the best UFC strikers ever. I mean, that's, if you don't think that, I don't really know what to tell you. I mean, he's incredible. And, I mean, there's a reason why he's, if he's not so good, why has he only ever, I mean, I guess he has 10 UFC fights. But if he's not that good, I mean, he's never, he's only ever lost in title fights. Like, he's never lost a non-title fight. So, same thing for Aldo. So, that's two factors, you know, going into both of those. You know, that's the factor going into both of those fights. And I just think Cruz will be, you know, maybe too much to figure out for Marlon Vera. I think his style is just so, it's so confusing. It's hard to figure out where he is. And, you know, his head movement is insane. Like, when Cruz isn't hurt, bro, like, when have you really seen him in a drought recently? Like, that one Cody, you know, and then he came back off, like, 4-year layoff to fight Cejudo. I mean, but since then, I mean, he's looked incredible. You know, he and his last two fights, it was kind of that case where it was like Munoz looked good in the first round, and then I felt like second and third, Cruz was just nowhere to be found, bro. And it's like, you can't find him, but he's finding you. It's like he's fighting in the fourth dimension or something. You know what I mean? So, I got Cruz, dog. I think Cruz unanimous decision.
Man, this was a tough one. But I just can't get the Cody Garbrandt and the T-Zar Dillashaw fights out of my head. Dominique struggled against those guys. Although he quote-unquote beat TJ, I thought TJ actually won that fight. But he seems to struggle with guys with fast hands. Chito Vera has very, very fast hands. Chito Vera is also very, very good on the mat. Man, I applaud Dominique for staying busy. But I'm going to go with Chito Vera in this fight. And I'm going to go split decision win for Chito Vera. And Chito Vera is going to look very, very good in this fight. It ain't going to be a dominant performance because I said it's going to be a split decision. But it's going to be one of the ones you're going to come back and be like, if you watch the fight, you'll know who won. So that's why I'm going with Chito Vera to win this fight, man. I just think he does too many things well. And I think the one thing Dominique Cruz does well is defense. And in the UFC, defense don't win championships.
I mean, I could see that, you know, going both. I could see both of those outcomes. You know, that's one of those ones. I mean, Aldo and Merab is that way too. You know, most of these fights are that way. It's like, you know, Jan and O'Malley, when I first started, I'm like, okay, I'm kind of scared for O'Malley. But the more I listen to him talk about it, the more I think about it, I'm like, man, O'Malley's still a really good striker, though. You know what I mean? Who knows? Like, Jan kind of comes on slow sometimes. Like, he don't always look good right away. It kind of builds up to it. Plus, he's been in a lot of five-round fights lately. It's been a while since he's done a three-round fight, so he's always had that time to get going. So, I don't know. I could see both of those outcomes, but, yeah, I'm going Cruz unanimous. You're going Marlon Vera, Chito unanimous, and it is what it is. That's, you know, pretty much all I got. We hit pretty much everything. I don't have anything else unless it's something you want to get to. But, yeah, I can't think of anything that I want to say. Just thank y'all for listening. Now, give me 2 seconds. Thank y'all for listening. Add us on Twitter, at me, at Lee's account, or at Lee and Keys Real Talk. And if there's anything you have a question about or want to bring up to us or a prediction, just shoot us a tweet on Twitter. And, you know, we're both pretty active there. So, yeah, that's all I got. Floor is yours, bro.
I don't really have anything, man. We covered a lot tonight. Another great show. I've been looking for something to close the show out with, man, and I haven't came up with nothing. But I put this tweet out yesterday, and I think I'm going to use it as our closing to the show for the rest of the year. As always, Lee and Keys always like to end the show on a positive note. I tweeted this out yesterday. Silence your doubters while making your haters work overtime. What that means is people that doubt you, they always want to talk. So you silence them and you make your haters work overtime because they are the ones that actually, sometimes they motivate you. So make them work even more hard because get them something to hate on even more. So silence your doubters while making your haters work overtime. Lynn Keys signing out. As always, we end the show with a peace.